Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Finally, a postseason edition of Phillies Today as the National League Division Series gets set to start tomorrow night. I'm actually recording this one a little early this week, going out of town for the weekend, but it's the postseason. Couldn't skip out on a pod. So wanted to make sure to get all my postseason thoughts in, everything you need to know before. So I am coming to you on a Wednesday night, so I'm thinking it's presumably Phillies-Dodgers here. If it is some miracle and the Phillies end up playing the Reds, you could probably scratch a lot of what I'm saying, but anyway, I have a good feeling this is going to be Phillies-Dodgers after the Dodgers absolutely clobber the Cincinnati Reds in Game 1. The Cincinnati Reds give me the 2023 Marlins type of vibe to where they got in, they're sort of just happy to be there, but the Dodgers are clearly, the enforcer in the room in that series. So, believe the Phillies will be taking on the Dodgers in the National League Division Series. It is a 1-0 Dodgers lead as we speak right now. But I'm feeling a little nervous for the first time, I think, after watching that Dodger game last night. I have a ton of excitement for the postseason. I expressed in the pod last week that I have a much different feeling going into the postseason this year because of what they've been able to accomplish over the last few months and the way that they've looked as opposed to 2024, where they basically, limped into the playoffs and won the division. But sort of after that London series last year, it was a gradual decline in what we saw on the baseball field after that really hot start they got off to. So it's nothing against the Phillies. They're playing their best baseball at the right time. I know that the offense in the last week might have sputtered a bit, but that was after they clinched and essentially had clinched a bye as well. So not too worried about that. But tonight was the first intra-squad game to the public that the Phillies have ever done. And credit to Phillies fans, man, because when this town gets behind a team, like we see it with the Eagles open practice, for a non-game to be able to get 31,000 plus, which I saw tonight or on Wednesday, just absolutely insane. And good for all those people coming out. Good for the Phillies to making tickets cheap and giving all the money to charity. And I think that Rob Thompson, and I'm going to bring up a lot of what he said on the WIP morning show this week, was that last year they did the inter-squad game and it just didn't have that feel of it being, something that was more serious and something that, they felt people were watching them. So they changed it up this year. They invite the fans to come out, watch the game, and we'll see if it pays off for them. I thought it was, a great night down at the ballpark. You had Jesus Luzardo going for the Phils in powder blue against Aaron Nola going for the Phils in pinstripes. Both of them go three scoreless, which was good to see. A lot of strikeouts, which, hey, good for our starting pitching, but bad for the offense. So take that as you will. But big night for a couple guys. Bryce Harper goes 3-for-3 with a home run, which is good to see as well. But overall, just a good night down at the ballpark, and it was good that they're able to be in a different environment than they were last year. Clearly, they're just trying to shake things up, and what they did last year, they probably didn't want to do again. So it was good to see that down at Citizens Bank Park tonight. So have a bunch of thoughts I want to get to. We'll hit the lineup. We will hit the bullpen. And I think I want to start with the starting pitching, because based off of what Rob Thompson said on the WIP Morning Show today and based off of some of the early reports that we are getting, and Rob Thompson did mention before the inter-squad scrimmage on Wednesday that he has his rotation figured out. And again, I am recording this on a Wednesday, so things may have come out by the time this is, you know, out there and released. So we'll see what happens there. But the early indication is that Christopher Sanchez obviously goes game one, and that Jesus Luzardo will be going in game two, most likely, and that they are going to do an Aaron Nola game three start, with Ranger being a potential option in the bullpen for both game one and game three. So I think this is a pretty interesting way to go, because Ranger in his last start, it's worth mentioning that he got hit in the leg and had to come out of the game, which everyone had thought was pretty precautionary. And then he doesn't end up playing in the inner squad game on Wednesday. So again, believe that was something that was done out of caution. And apparently that Ranger joked that he actually wanted to be the bat boy for the game, which I could totally see Ranger doing and would be pretty funny. But in all seriousness here, I think it's an idea that's pretty interesting, because I think it's based off of, if you don't have Aaron Nola start a game in the National League Division Series, then there's probably no point in keeping him on the roster. Aaron Nola has never come out of the bullpen in his career. You have Walker Buehler, who has come out of the bullpen a ton and has had a ton of postseason experience, who has pitched pretty well for you lately. So you figure he would probably be an option over Nola out of the bullpen. And you've Taiwan to deal with, who's probably the long man for you if you're, you know, up seven, down seven type of thing, which, again, I don't think Taiwan Walker will be pitching any high leverage innings in the postseason. In fact, I can tell you that for sure. But with Nola, I just think it's interesting because they figure this is probably the best way to utilize him if they're going to, you know, use a roster spot on him. If they didn't, they probably would have had, like, you know, Tim Mayza or Lou Trevino on the postseason roster, and one of them still might be on there just in terms of the numbers, which they keep 26 for the postseason. But I think Aaron Nola probably doesn't have a role if he isn't starting a game. So I think it's interesting that this is potentially the move they're going to go with. I don't necessarily love it just with the way Nola's pitched this year. I mean, it's not a fun experience to see a guy probably warming up in Dodger Stadium on game three with a 6 ERA, and you're thinking to yourself, man, like, we have a couple better options than this. Why is Rob Thompson making this decision? But I think it's just something where they're going to have a really, really short leash on Aaron Nola. Maybe he only goes through the order one time. And if you've noticed early in these postseason games, managers are very quick to go to their starters in the bullpen, which would, you know, be Ranger Suarez. So I think it's an interesting move. I think it's one where if you're playing a roster game here, it makes sense in terms of the numbers and the guys that you keep on. And look, you want to keep your best 26 players. And I think for Aaron Nola to be effective, it's probably going to have to be in a starting capacity. But he said Rob Thompson had talked about Aaron Nola being a big game pitcher and doing well when the lights are brightest. And that's not the guy that Aaron Nola really is to me. Like, Zach Wheeler, when he's healthy, big game pitcher, has pitched great in a ton of postseason moments and has been, you know, under 3 ERA guy in the postseason. Even Walker Buehler in the past has been a guy in the postseason where he has the sustained success over the course of, you know, a decent sample size here, to where you say he has, you know, the stones to pitch in the postseason, and he's had the history of being able to come up in big spots and really pitch well. But, you know, I know Nola's had some good starts, and, you know, the Atlanta game three in 2022, he pitched well, and he's pitched well, you know, in 2023 against the Marlins, he had a good game. But, you know, he's also had some clunkers in the postseason. People shouldn't forget that. Like, San Diego in 22, he ends up getting the loss there in the World Series. In the second game he started, he wasn't great, where, you know, Phillies ended up getting no hit. But I don't think that Aaron Nola is necessarily the big game pitcher that a lot of people paint him out to be. So I don't necessarily love the move, but I do think it's interesting with the Ranger piggyback idea in both game one and game three, because that means you can utilize Ranger in a bunch of different capacities, which we've seen in the past. We saw it in 22, obviously, and we've seen him have the ability to have, clearly is a guy where heartbeat's really slow, isn't scared of the moment. And if you're in, I just wonder if they're in a one or two run game in either of those, is going to Ranger really a better option, say Chris Sanchez goes 6-7 innings, than going to like Strom, Robertson, Duran? So I just am not sure exactly how comfortable I feel with him in that spot rather than those guys who have been doing it the whole year. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And again, Rob Thompson hasn't announced it yet. They don't have to announce the roster even until Saturday morning. So don't expect anything else to come out about that now. But it does seem like that's the road we're potentially heading down with Chris Sanchez game one, Luzardo game two, Nola game three, with Ranger being available out of the pen in both game one and game three. And hey, who knows? Chris Sanchez could, you know, pitch a 9-inning shutout in game one, and then you don't have to use Ranger, and maybe their plans change. But for now, it seems like that is sort of the template that they're going with in terms of this pitching staff. So, and I think they like the piggyback thing that they've sort of experimented with Taiwan and Walker Buehler here. So that is the road they appear to be headed down. But want to get to some lineup thoughts as well before I get to the bullpen, and just some last-minute Dodger thoughts I'm going to get to towards the end as well. It feels like the lineup, and I know I gave my lineup last week, but I have changed it because, again, Rob Thompson on the WIP morning show on Wednesday of this week said that with Trey Turner coming back, that he thinks the lineup can get stretched out to a point where they can become really deep and sort of they can use Harrison Bader as somebody who makes this lineup deeper. And they haven't had the hot Harrison Bader with Trey Turner leading off, because it felt like once Bader got in that leadoff spot when Trey went out and took on a bigger role in terms of needing more production on offense, he sort of thrived in that, and that's where he got really hot. And now with Trey back, he'll obviously be in the leadoff spot. Rob Thompson confirmed that today. But I'm thinking that they probably slide Bader down the lineup a little bit more. So here is my updated prediction on how the Phillies lineup will look for game one of the National League Division Series, assuming that they go against Blake Snell, who is a left-handed pitcher. And I mean, it could be Shohei. If this series does only go two games, it definitely could be Shohei. But I would, so for either guy, here's how I think it would go. Turner leading off, Schwarber, Harper, Boehm, who I think is probably going to be in that four spot just because he's swinging the hottest bat out of all the candidates right now. And look, I know we've done the Alec Boehm experiment before, but I'll get to that, you know, a little more of that in a second here. But Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Boehm, Marsh, Bader, Kepler slash Castellanos, JT, Stott slash maybe Sosa. So again, Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Boehm, Marsh, Bader, Kepler slash Casti, JT, Stott slash Sosa. So my main thoughts on this is with Bader, that seems to be the biggest question right now. Where do you put Harrison Bader? And I don't think he wants to go away from Turner, Schwarber, Harper at the top. I had originally brought up the idea of maybe hitting Harrison Bader second and then being able to, you know, stretch the lineup out in that way, and you get Schwarber in the four spot with the chance of driving a lot of runs. They haven't really done that all year, and I don't know if Rob Thompson is going to experiment with that type of thing right now. And I do think that by putting Bader down in the lineup a little bit more, you really do stretch things out and make it tough for opposing pitchers. And after those top three guys, and obviously Harper behind Schwarber, you do have the ability to go righty-lefty, especially with how good Brandon Marsh has been this year. And I will say in the inter-squad game, Marsh did have a hit off a lefty, which was nice to see, and he's going to play every night in this postseason, which is good to see. And I would assume that Weston Wilson, Otto Kemper on the roster, but I don't really see a scenario, especially with the DH now, that they really get in the game here. I know Weston Wilson's had some clutch moments, and I like what Otto's done this year, but I don't think that they probably find their way into the lineup at any point. I would trust Marsh against left-handed pitchers, you know, based off of what he's done since May. I mean, we talk about it all the time. The April that he had, and to be able to be 281, almost 800 OPS guy after that start is pretty remarkable, and he's totally earned the chance to be the everyday left fielder in the postseason, especially given the defense that he provides out there as well. That's something in the postseason that can't, you know, go overlooked as well. So I like that Marsh can hit behind Boehm, and I just need some of these guys, not towards the bottom of the lineup, but some of the, you know, the Marshes, the Boehms, the Stotts of the world, to be able to finally, you know, have some moments here in the postseason. And I know in 22, some of them did, but it just felt like the last 2 years, you know, you've had good Castellano series, you've had good Harper series, you've had good Schwarber series. You need those guys to be able to provide some thump down there at the bottom of the lineup for you. And for them to finally come through and maybe have some moments.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Would kind of represent what this team has done all year, because while Schwarber has been clearly unbelievable and Trey Turner won a batting title and those two guys have been great, like, they've gotten a ton of contributions from the Marshes of the world, the Stotts of the world, the, you know, Sosa's of the world even. We'll see if Sosa ends up playing against left-handed pitching. I would be okay with doing that just because of how well he's frankly swung the bat lately and the defense he can provide for you as well, even though I would say Stott's probably an upgrade from him at shortstop. But wouldn't be shocked to see Sosa in there at some point, even though, again, I think I trust Stott in a big spot right now. But with that, just need to get those guys at the bottom of the lineup to be able to contribute in a big fashion, because that's what we saw in 22, and that's what was able to sort of propel them to the World Series. And one last thing with JT batting eighth, I think that's sort of based off of what you've done for me lately. JT had a really, really good stretch in the middle of the summer into, you know, early, mid-August there, but sort of scuffled towards the last month of the season. And I think hitting him down there maybe takes a little pressure off. And I think, again, if he can sort of reclaim what he found in the middle of the summer there, then you add that bat to the eighth spot in your lineup, and then you have Stott and Sosa who have been able to contribute for you on offense as well. That's where this lineup can get really dangerous. And I think that ultimately, it's a weapon down there if he's able to sort of catch fire a little bit and contribute from the eighth spot. So that's where I'm at with the lineup. I don't think I'm going to fully trust them until the parade float is going down Broad Street, because we obviously know what's happened the past few years and them just going cold incredibly quick. You sort of just have to hope, and there's no really breaking it down, and there's no, you know, statistical analysis behind this whatsoever, but it's one of those things where you really just have to hope and hope that everyone at least doesn't go cold at the same time. You know, Schwarber's done the bit forever now of not being great up until the National League Championship Series, and then boom, he takes off and sort of goes from there. But, you know, I just need, like, if he has that type of series, I need the Baders of the world, I need the Marshes of the world, I need Keplers of the world to be able to have a good series and pick them up. And that's where the great teams end up, you know, going to the World Series and end up winning it, because you have different contributors all throughout the month. Because remember, I mean, it is a whole month of baseball we're talking about. Guys go on 2-week stretches where they're really hot, and then the switch flips and, you know, they can turn ice cold. So that's what we got to get out of this lineup. And I'm going to be nervous and I'm going to be worried, but, you know, hopefully they can sort of prove me wrong there and prove everybody wrong there, because that's how a lot of people feel for sure. So I want to get to the bullpen real quick before I get into some thoughts on the division series in general and what will, again, most likely be the Dodgers. So bullpen, in terms of the trust rankings, it's sort of Duran and then everyone else for me at this point, to where I feel good about what Duran's done the last couple games of the year and what he did in the inter squad game tonight. He got a save for the winning team, which was, or the losing team, which was kind of funny because they ended up playing the bottom of the seventh just to get him a look out there, which makes a lot of sense. And I feel good about Duran. My one thing with him is sometimes, and he's such a good strike thrower that, you know, this might be something that's an interesting ask for a bullpen guy, but sometimes I want to throw less strikes. Like, he has gotten burned a couple times on 0-2 pitches that were left in the zone, either, you know, a curveball that hangs up there a little too long and sits right in the middle of the plate, or just 101, 102 mile an hour fastball right down the middle, like he gave up to Andy Páez out in Dodger Stadium earlier in September. So I think sometimes he just needs to be able to, you know, live to see another pitch. And if you're 0-2, like, make it a non-hittable pitch. And I think that they probably have made that adjustment with him a little bit. And I appreciate that he throws strikes out of the bullpen, because I know that's what a lot of people, you know, that's the main thing coming out of the bullpen is you want to be able to throw strikes. You don't want to walk guys. But with him, just be careful. Just be careful sometimes, because I know 102 can just blow a guy away, and wherever you throw it, it's probably not going to get hit. But these guys are major league hitters too, and from time to time, they're going to be able to pop one out of there at 101 or 102, which, you know, we saw at Dodger Stadium. So hopefully that does not happen again. Aside from Duran, I'm a little worried with the rest of the bullpen heading into the postseason, just because I think it's interesting what they've done with Strom, which is give him some real extended rest in September. I think that was probably the right decision from Rob Thomson and company, just because of the amount of innings he pitched this year, and it just felt like his arm was tiring a little bit. So I think I could feel good about that heading into the postseason. I did feel great about how he was throwing as we got to like the beginning of September, just because it felt like his thing has always been beat him with deception, you know, the weird arm angle, be able to get lefties out, and, you know, he can get lefties and righties out when he's going well. But the velocity has just never really been a thing with him over the past couple of years. And for him to be able to have success, he's got to purely dominate off deception, which requires you, you know, being perfect and being able to, you know, dot the corners and be able to, you know, paint your pitches. And I don't know if I feel like Strom is at that point right now, but I do like the decision they made to go rest him a little bit and to be able to, you know, just have him feeling fresh going into the postseason. So he's probably your number one lefty out of the bullpen. And I know Tanner Banks has had a good run, but towards the end of the season started to fall off a little bit, granted in some lower leverage situations, but I still feel okay about him coming into a game, especially with guys on. He's shown some real stones at time to be able to get guys out with, you know, inherited runners on, which in the postseason is a big thing. There's no doubt about it. He may get that opportunity, but Strom, probably my number one lefty coming out of the bullpen, unless it's Ranger Suarez, which again would support the Ranger Suarez decision, because you don't feel that confident with the lefties coming out of the bullpen. And if you have Ranger to be able to go to in a big spot like that, where you have to get, you know, let's say Shohei and Freddie Freeman out in an inning, like that makes a lot of sense. So that's, again, sort of the thinking and, you know, the reasoning, I guess, they have behind the potential Nola start game three, put Ranger in the bullpen idea here. So besides that, David Robertson, I probably would prioritize, or would have him over Orion Kerkering in my righty trust rankings right now, I would say, just based off of the fact that Kerkering, I like his stuff better than David Robertson. There's no doubt about it. Like, I think when they're both right, Kerkering is the better pitcher, no doubt. But he's just has had command problems for over 2 months now. And for him to be able to have success, we talk about it all the time, got to be able to command fastball, and then you play the sweeper off it. Because if the fastball isn't being located and he's throwing it, you know, not for strikes, and you throw the sweeper, they're just going to lay off it every time. And ultimately, it's a fastball issue with him when it comes to not being able to execute. And he hasn't been able to throw the fastball really with great command for almost 2-3 months now. So with Robertson, at least I know I'm getting, you know, a competitive pitcher who's going to throw strikes. And, you know, he might not have the best velocity and the best stuff at this point, but he's been somebody who's been able to really locate well since the Phillies acquired him, you know, signed him right around the trade deadline. And, you know, 40-year-old, he's got plenty of playoff experience. Can you believe he won the World Series with the Yankees against the Phillies in 2009? Like, we're in 2025. I was 9 years old in 2009, and this guy is still pitching. So, again, third time around, hope he gets his ring with the Phillies, and would expect some big David Robertson innings in this postseason, like he did in 2022 with the team. So That's where I'm at with those two guys. And I am interested to see the Walker Buehler role in the postseason as well. Probably not going to start a game for this team, which, you know, makes a lot of sense. But based off of the success he's had in the past in the postseason, I would expect him to get in and get some work at some point. Just based off of, again, once you get past those two righties, you've got maybe Lou Trevino in there, and we'll see what they end up doing with the starting staff and how they deploy those guys. But I would expect Walker Buehler to have some sort of role in this with, you know, again, Taiwan probably being the cleanup guy for this team. If you're up 6 or 7, down 6 or 7, Taiwan Walker probably gets in the game for you. So want to get to some Dodgers thoughts real quick before I get out of here. If the Dodgers end it in 2 against the Reds, they probably go Shohei, Snell, Yamamoto. And, you know, listen, they are getting healthy at the right time. And they're scary. There's no doubt about it. They are a scary team. You know, biggest payroll in baseball. They've absolutely smoked the Reds in game 1. And they're a team that has gotten their pitching healthy at the right time. And I think the ultimate goal for the Phillies, aside clearly from winning the series, but the thing that will allow them to win this series is by running pitch counts up on those guys, getting to that bullpen. Like, their bullpen is arguably the worst in the postseason right now. And they really have no arm they can go to. I know they signed Tanner Scott to be their closer in the offseason, and he's had a really rough year. Blake Trine is not the same guy that he used to be. And they just have a bunch of guys who really are seemingly lacking confidence out of the pen. So getting into that bullpen is going to be crucial, but they are going to have some arms coming out of that bullpen potentially that were in the starting rotation, similar to the Phillies. Tyler Glass now, Emmett Sheehan, would expect both of those guys to potentially be coming out of the pen for the Dodgers. So it's not going to be easy, but if they can get it to game 5 back in Philadelphia, you would hope that the Phillies can win that series. And hey, if they get past the Dodgers, and depending on what happens in the Milwaukee series after that, I feel really good about this team coming into the postseason. And again, my nervousness doesn't stem from the Phillies. It stems more based off of them having to play the Dodgers and just, you know, not the greatest draw that they got. But hey, in order to, you know, win the World Series, you got to beat the best. So that is what they are probably going to have to do. So that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Hopefully next week I have a very happy edition of Phillies Today with either a series win or going to a game 5 of the division series. So thank you as always for tuning in to Phillies Today and for Phillies 24/7. This has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day 1 for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.